الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأنا التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Earlier we mentioned that there is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where the Prophet ﷺ said that Ramadan has three parts: first 10 days, the second 10 days, and the third 10 days. The first 10 days of Ramadan are a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَوْسَطَهُ The middle 10 days are a forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the last 10 days are emancipation from the hellfire. Now many of us, what we witness in Ramadan is that there's a lot of inertia, and initially there's a lot of surge, and then middle 10 days of Ramadan there is generally a drop, a dip in our passion. And then in the last 10 days, the Akhri Ashra, when a person searches for Laylatul Qadr at the time of Aitikaf, there is a surge again. However, these 10 days that we have, and more than five have already passed by, these are days which we should be increasing in our passion. And there are two things that we have to increase in these days. One is that we should increase in our tawbah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is an ashra of maghfirah. And second is that we should increase in our du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ashra. Because when a person makes tawbah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that tawbah, and that's actually a moment of qubuliyah. So whatever du'as that a person makes, those du'as are also accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One way we can understand the Ramadan is that the first 10 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, rahmah, He provided that environment where we could prepare ourselves. Because the whole purpose of Ramadan is it's for a person to be able to emancipate them from the hellfire, for that person to patch up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to connect back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way this has been designed is that the first 10 days, there is so much rahmah that a person, because of the rahmah, we are able to increase in our amal, increase in our ibadat, increase in our nawafil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to forgive us. When a person spends, let's say, 10 days, 15 days, we just spend those days, those days of fasting, those days of Taraweeh, and also for the vast majority of us, we spend those days staying away from many repugnant sins. And then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is that out of His mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up this opportunity for all of us to earn His maghfirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving every day, every night, every day of Ramadan, thousands of the ummati of the Prophet ﷺ, they are being taken out from Jahannam, and they'll be admitted into Jannah. And this is the whole function of Ramadan, that a person can somehow attain this maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then once they attain this maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connect and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever they want, whatever they need, whatever their desires are. So maghfirah and dua, they go together. And that's why it behooves us that rather than we let ourselves dip and drip, we should rather use this time, and we should spend this time with a renewed passion. And like we said, the first passion we should have is to make more and more forgiveness, to seek more and more forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as that being who declares Himself to be in Quran as At-Tawwab Ar-Rahim. Tawwab means that being who accepts the tawbah of the person. And tawwab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely accepting the tawbah of those people who turn towards Him. And there's also another meaning of tawwab, that just like these people are turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawwab means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also turning towards them. So they are turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're turning away from sin, they're turning away from ghafla, they're turning away from jahalat, they're turning away from zalalat, they're turning away from ghaflat, they're turning away from all that is ghayrullah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also infinitely turning towards us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also infinitely, intensely turning towards each and every one of us. And that's why, that's what the Prophet he mentioned in the Hadith of Qudsi, that Allah draws near a person when they draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person comes to Allah ta'ala hand span, Allah ta'ala comes to that person in arm's length. And when a person comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walking, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to that person running. So this is what it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely turning towards us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who's at-tawwab. And that's the incentive for all of us to make that tawbah. That we are, that whatever little act of repentance and remorse we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reciprocate that immensely. We can make tawbah any time of the year, but in this month, every fard becomes 70. So just like that, same is true for our tawbah. If we make that tawbah, that is, it's going to have much more mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This month will bring us infinitely more mercy. So that's in essence what really one thing that we have to work on is that make this the month of tawbah and turn infinitely towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the other benefit of tawbah is that it makes a person completely clean. Whenever we sin, it has an effect. Whenever we are ghafil, that has an effect. When a person sins, there is onslaught of worries in a person's life. There is darkness in a person's heart. There is a lack of desire to do good deeds, lack of barakah in our life, in our rizq, memory, health. And when a person makes true tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person can, they wipe away all the effects of that sense. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. True tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deletes everything. And attaibu min adh-dhanbi kama la dhanba lahu. This is, you know, the Prophet verified this, that whoever makes true tawbah from his sins is like that person who's never committed sins at all. So this is a very beautiful thing about tawbah, that the sin itself is erased and all the effects of that sin are also erased. That's a very big benefit. It's washed away. But this requires a true tawbah. And true tawbah, maybe some of us we make tawbah, but what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us is that true tawbatun nasuh. And there are some conditions which the ulama have mentioned for this tawbatun nasu. First condition is that a person should make the niyat. The intention should be that a person is leaving sins. And a person is remorseful and guilty about their sins. Because if a person doesn't have that shame or nadamat in their heart, and nor do they want to leave that sin, then this tawbah is not a tawbatun nasu. So the first basic qualification is that we have to have this intention that I will never commit this sin again. And this is what Sharia says, azmun jazimun. It has to be a very true, firm commitment. And a person, maybe they might think that I'm weak, I might not be able to fulfill this tawbah. But that's a trick of shaitan or a trick of a person's nafs. That because maybe we cannot stop sinning, but surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make us stop sinning. Allah ta'ala can prevent us from sinning. If Allah ta'ala wishes, Allah ta'ala can make me leave this sin. It's difficult for me, but it's not difficult for my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the whole thing about tawbah, the focus about tawbah is that a person is supposed to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe I cannot stop looking at that ghair mahram. Maybe you cannot stop looking at some things you're not supposed to see. you cannot leave this habit of yours of SMSing and talking to the ghair mahram. And a person might think, what's the use of Tawbah in the first place? So this is a plot of shaitan that stops a person from making Tawbah. Allah can, nothing is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to tap into that mercy of Allah ta'ala. We have to tap into that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to present our weakness, ourselves to Allah ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. So we have to make, first thing is that we have to make that azam jazim, true, firm commitment, intention, that Allah, in my heart, I don't see that intention of sinning, intentionally, or knowingly, or deliberately. Then after that, a person makes that true niyat, then they should try to avoid that environment where that sin is prevalent. This is very important, because sometimes we are attached to that particular environment where we are sinning, and even though we have the true intention, and still we are not able to save ourselves, and then a person they become depressed that I made that commitment but still I wasn't able to succeed. Well, the reason why we weren't able to succeed is because the environment would bring us back. It's a very dominant, it's a very strong environment. So we have to sever that environment. We have to avoid that environment. If that environment is overpowering, it's dominating us, then we have to remove ourselves from that environment. We have to disconnect ourselves from all the connectors towards sins. If a person feels that technology is getting to him, and whenever I engage with technology, then it's going to end up eventually sinning, then we have to find ways that we can control our exposure to technology. We have to find ways that I have to disconnect myself from those connectors. And maybe if a person is emotionally involved somewhere, we're supposed to sever those ties. No phone calls, no messaging, no meetings. It has to be I have to complete cut off. It's the diamond example, that if there's a diamond that is lying in a gutter, even if you empty out a whole liter of water on it, you will still not be able to purify because it's lying in the gutter. And on the other hand, you take it out of the gutter, you pour some small amount of water, it will become pure. So whatever those connectors are, sometimes they might be an environment, sometimes it's an individual, sometimes it's technology, sometimes they might be a friend who makes one sin. Part of true Tawbah is that we have to stop. And this is a promise that we make to Allah Ta'ala on a daily basis. When we recite witr, وَنَخْلَأُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ, that we separate ourselves and we stop ourselves from such a person who is an open sinner. So to leave such people is extremely important, and not to trust on our nafs, not to rely on our nafs. Because this nafs, if you give this nafs the opportunity, this nafs will not be able to save itself from sin. So this is, you should make Tawbah, and you should first is make a true steadfast niyat, intention, and number two is to avoid that environment of sin. People who might make that person do that sin. This is extremely important. And then another thing that is part of true Tawbah is that the kind of sin that a person used to make, they should now start doing a similar good deed. For example, that person used to consume alcohol. He made Tawbah. Now what should he do? He should do some other good deed of a similar nature. Maybe making arrangements for poor people to drink water. He used to do a sin of related to drinking. Now he should perform a good deed related to drinking, so that sin is forgiven very quickly in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the principle of the Sharia is that your good deeds will wipe away your misdeeds. And the more and more, innal hasanat yuzhibna sayyi'at. The hasanat that you will do, they will become a kafara. They'll wipe away your bad deeds. And that's why we should do a good deed from there. And if you do that good deed from the same category that you used to do the bad deed, then the sin will be forgiven very quickly. Very quickly. And another condition of true Tawbah, which many people which is option which is does not apply to every situation, but this is khas and specific for those situations where a person has violated some right of another individual. That if a person one is hukukullah, that a person falls short in discharging their obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for them these first three, but however if there is a particular sin where a person violated the rights of other people, hukukul ibad, then there's another responsibility, another condition of true tawbah, that we have to give them their right. And this can be very difficult sometimes, because nafs doesn't want to become small in front of other people. Nafs doesn't want to admit of its mistake. Nafs doesn't want to go and seek forgiveness from other people. Nafs wants to be a superior. Nafs wants to treat other people as inferior. But if you want to get the mercy and earn the maghfir and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very necessary. It's required that we should try to connect, try to give the other people their rights, or at the very least seek forgiveness from other people for the rights that we weren't able to give them, for we were not able to fulfill. And this is one reason why many religious people, and this is not people who are distant from Islam, but people who pray, people have a sunnah libas, and people who even study ilm and do dhikr, such people, why we are not able to benefit from Ramadan? Why is it that Ramadan comes, 1 year goes by, the next year comes, then goes by, still we don't find that change in ourselves, we're not able to transform ourselves? One major reason is because there's some obstacles. There's some rukawat, there's some things which hold us back, which hold that rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala back, and which hold us back from getting benefit from that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of those things is, one major thing, is our rights that we weren't able to give to other people. And we have spoken about this in previous sessions, Sila Rahmi, and that's one example. There's a hadith of the Prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive every person on Laylatul Qadr, except that person who used to do Qata Rahmi. Meaning that person who used to sever relations with his relatives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive that person on Laylatul Qadr. And if on Laylatul Qadr that person is not forgiven, then what other chance does he have in his life to get the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what's the thing which stops a person? It's just their nafs. They might have a disagreement with someone, dispute with their relatives, but just for the sake of not appearing small or wanting to appear superior over other people, a person doesn't give in. A person doesn't seek that forgiveness. They don't want to take that first step. Just recently, a few days ago, I met a person here in one of the masjids, and he came to me after one of the talks and said that I haven't spoken to my sister and my brother for many years now. And finally it struck me that perhaps this is the reason why I haven't been able to benefit, and I have all these problems in my business and all these bebarakati in my worldly life, and I'm also not able to feel any closeness to Allah. Every year Ramadan passes by and I see no change in myself, and I was figuring what is the problem, what's the issue. And I just realized today after this talk that this is something which I find in my life, that I haven't spoken to my sister. We just had some dispute and I don't speak to her. And now I made it, and that person came back second day and said that I made tawbah of this sin. And I spoke to her and I sought forgiveness from her, and I can feel a drastic change in our relationship. And he said, he admitted that what was stopping me was precisely this, that if I take the first step, then my izzat will go down, then my honor will go down, my dignity will go down. It's as if I have to, it's humiliation, disgrace for me to be able to go and seek forgiveness. What we have to understand is that izzat lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Izzat is not what we think, or me, or what the society thinks izzat is. Izzat is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to an individual. And that person who fulfills the commands of Allah, that person is given izzat by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who joins their ties with relatives, he will be given izzah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ, when he received the first revelation and he then came to Umma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he was anxious and he was worried whether he'll be able to bear this responsibility of Nabuwa, of spreading the teachings and this Nabuwa or not, Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she consoled him. She gave tasalli to him and she said, Kalla wallahi la yughdhikullahu la yughdhikullahu abada. La yughdhikullahu abada. That I swear, no way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste you. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will not disgrace you. And then what was the reason? She said that فَإِنَّكَ لَتَسِلُ الرَّحِيمِ, that you do sila rahmi, you join ties with relatives. So when a person joins ties with relatives, it gives izzah to that person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, elevates that person. And same thing, there's another, so this is about qata rahmi, another hadith which also tells us, which is also about hukukul ibad. So sila rahmi is also about hukukul ibad, another sin. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that on Laylatul Qadr, every person is forgiven except for that person who has kina for other people in his heart. That person who harbors malice, spite, hatred, rancor in his heart for other people. And again, this is something that many people have, and many people are not able to forgive others. They're not able to let go of things done to them, wrongs done to them. But we have to learn this khuluq, this attribute of forgiving other people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to purify our heart, because only when we purify our heart can we enter into Jannah. Because Jannah is a pure place. And only when we purify our heart in this context now, can we earn that maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it doesn't mention in the hadith that a person doesn't pray, that person will not be able to earn the maghfirah. But it specifically mentions these two things. That sila rahmi, very important. It mentions person should rid their heart of malice and spite. Both are hukukul ibad. So it seems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something which is very important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rights of other people. Because the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can be forgiven. It's something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive. And if we compare hukukullah with hukukul ibad, hukukul, and this is something which is very common, that many people, again, people who pray, people who are religious, we view hukukullah to be ibadat. That yes, if we're praying, we are fasting, that's ibadah. But we are not so much aware of hukukul ibad. And in fact, hukukul ibad has more ahmiyah and more importance in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than hukukullah. There is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. So there is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. And here is, ghibat is a sin which pertains to hukukul ibad. And zina is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive. But the reason why ghibah is more severe, more intense, is because it pertains to the right of other people. Similarly, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will first ask us about hukukul ibad. And every person will have to deal with other people first. People will ask that he has this right, he has to discharge this responsibility, these are the unfulfilled rights. Even animals will be given an opportunity that they can ask, they can question each other. Hatta that it's mentioned, the ulama have mentioned that there is a goat which attacked another goat using its horns. So the other goat will be given the opportunity to compensate, to repay, to reciprocate, to take badla. And similarly, the same thing will happen within human beings. And when all this hisab kitab will take place, this will be done between humans. And there'll be no person of hukukul ibad left to take their rights. And this person fulfilled all of his rights towards other people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angel that announced that I have forgiven my rights. So all those people who were able to give other people their rights, who succeeded in this paper, who passed in this paper of hukukul ibad, all of them will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their hukukullah, all of them will be made to enter into Jannah. So this is something which is very important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are a lot of teachings in the Sharia and the Deen that explain this. In Bukhari Sharif, there is a story about a woman who was who used to commit zina, and she was not going to commit zina once or twice. This was her habit. But one day she gave water to a thirsty dog, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used that as a means to forgive her. And she is doing that sin over repeatedly, multiple times. But she gave water to that dog, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used that as an excuse to forgive her. And in another riwayah, it's mentioned that there was a woman who used to stay awake the whole night in tahajjud, and she used to fast the whole day. And one day she captured this cat inside a cage, and she was angry with that cat for some reason, and she said that I'm going to punish this cat, and she didn't give her food. And she imprisoned that cat in that cage, 3 days, no food, no water, and that cat died. And the moment that cat died, it comes in a hadith that this decision was announced that sent this person to Jahannam. So if you look, that person, she did ziyati with that cat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the decision to send that person to Jahannam. So if we do ziyati with other people, if we are not able to fulfill our rights, our dues towards other people, then how can we hope to enter into Jannah? This is a very serious thing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should make dua to Allah ta'ala to grant us that tawfiq to be able to fulfill both our hukukullah and our hukukul ibad. Sometimes these diseases of the heart, they become so chronic and so intense, envy and malice and hatred and enmity, that a person just becomes blinded. They, just like one of the example I gave you, right? The person becomes blinded, they're not willing to take that first step. They just expect that the other person should seek forgiveness. And once a person becomes blinded, they lose that distinction between what is right and what is wrong. A person starts committing a whole host of sins. And maybe nothing might happen in this dunya, but in akhirah, then a person will not be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because on that day we have to give, there'll be complete justice on that day, complete accountability on that day. So we have to be very careful when we make tawbah. We have to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another condition of true tawbah is raddul mazalim. That any responsibility that you had to another person or anything that was due, you should pay back. It should not be so that one has taken people's money and he does not give it back to people. And maybe he thinks that I can perform Hajj and everything will be forgiven. Or I spend Ramadan and everything will be forgiven. Hukukullah will be forgiven, but hukukul ibad need to be paid back. In fact, our mashayikh have said that to return a person's dirham to him, and dirham is just a metaphor for anything that you, any right that you owe to other people, it's a bigger action in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than 70 maqbool salah, 70 maqbool prayers. And this is that obstacle, this is that one amal which stops the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that amal that stops us from earning the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ibrahim Adam rahmatullah alayh, he was once sleeping wrapped inside a saf in Baitul Muqaddas, since it was very cold. And he says that I saw the two angels descended with faces lit up with noor. And one said that there is some stranger in our presence. And the other said that yes, this is the son of Ibrahim, this is Ibrahim Adam. But how can he get wilayat of Allah Ta'ala? There is so and so person in Basra and he has eaten his date without his permission. And then they flew away. Ibrahim Adam rahmatullah says that I opened my eyes and I remember that some time ago I bought dates from a shop in Basra. And when I was leaving, I saw that a date was lying on the ground and I thought it was mine. So I picked it up and I ate it. But in fact, that date did not belong to me. It was the shopkeeper's. So he then traveled all the way from Baitul Muqaddas to Basra and made payment for that date to the shop owner. And then there and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the maqam of wilayah. So if a person has something due towards another person, we cannot get the nearness of Allah Ta'ala, we cannot get the maghfirah of Allah Ta'ala, we cannot get the mercy and rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. We have to say sorry, we have to apologize. If that person did ghiba, we hurt someone, said bad words about someone, hit someone, we should ask for forgiveness. These days people don't ask for forgiveness when we are alive. And when a person passes away, then the announcement is made that if a person is hurt by this person, please forgive him. And something to think about, that the person who the dead person has hurt, he won't even come to attend the janazah of this person. So seeking forgiveness now is not going to be completely beneficial. Kamil, complete forgiveness is that which is sought during the lifetime. And we should make this our habit, not just a Ramadani habit, but this is a very beautiful habit to have. That whenever, and this is the habit of our mashayikh also, that whenever they would meet someone, they would say that you have a lot of rights over me, and I'm a very weak person, I cannot fulfill them, please forgive me. And the other person would laugh, and in this way that he would get his pardon. So the wife should ask forgiveness from her husband, husband should ask forgiveness from his wife, brothers should seek forgiveness from each other. And you're asking forgiveness in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one aspect, one important amal that we should do in these days. We should turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah and tawbatun nasu. And when a person then turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is at speak. And this is the real way to be forgiven, is that a person should feel that true remorse and repentance in their heart. So much remorse and so much regret over your sin, that remorse and regret is greater than the feeling of pleasure. Because unless we do that, you will keep falling back into that sin. If you feel a little bit of remorse and a lot of pleasure, if the pleasure overrules, triumphs the remorse, you will go back to that sin. You will go back to that sin after the month of Ramadan ends. Unless in this month of Ramadan, you can train your heart to feel more remorse, more regret, more nadama, then you felt pleasure and benefit and joy, that is tawbah. If you feel more remorse and regret, then you will seek the forgiveness of Allah. Then you will really view that sin as a loss, as a khusran, not as a benefit. You will view that sin as pain, not as pleasure. You will view that sin as harm, not as benefit. And that person who views themselves in a state of pain, in a state of harm, in a state of oppression, then that person's heart will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we have done zulm on ourselves. You know, this is a phrase that we use in our du'as. We should reflect. Rabbana dhalamna anfusana. Allah, I've done zulm. We have to view ourselves as zalim and mazlum, both. We have severely wronged ourselves, oppressed ourselves, damaged ourselves, bruised ourselves. Like some people have, you know, illnesses in this day and age. Some people physically scar their bodies. People write emails that I cut myself when I'm sad or depressed. We are people who sin, and through sinning we spiritually bruise our bodies. Whenever we are sad or depressed or lonely, we sin. And now this is tawbah, that a person then turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we have to do first thing in this month, first thing in these days that are left of this month. Tubu ilallah, that continue to make this repentance by turning ilallah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, you will find that in this month, it's easy to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's easy to turn, to pick up Quran, to walk into the masjid, to make zikr, to make ibadah. You have that ability. And this ability will only increase in the days to come. But we have to use this ability to get this kamil maghfirah. Kamil maghfirah, this A+ maghfirah. In these days that are left of Ramadan, we should be thinking that, you know, every night you're pulling nighters, just like in dunya when you're studying for an exam, you're putting every nighters. Here we're putting nighters on Laylatul Maghfirah, and then Laylatul Qadr, the last 10 days, so that at the end of this month we are kamilan, forgiven by Allah Ta'ala, perfectly, completely, absolutely forgiven by Allah Ta'ala. And that should be our intention right at the beginning, that I want to settle for nothing less. Everything I ever did, I'm going to present every sin to Allah and seek forgiveness for every sin that I've done. I'm going to cry over every sin to Allah. I'm going to do iqrar. I'm going to admit of every of my sins. Every sin I did with my eye, every sin I did with my ear, every sin I did to someone else, every sin I did to myself. I'm going to remember all of that, and I'm going to present all of that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I'm not going to rest until all of it is forgiven by Allah ta'ala. Why? Because that's exactly what Allah ta'ala wants to do. That's the power of this month. That's what Allah is ready to do that. Allah is ready to give us that. If you bring true tawbah, you will find Him to be tawwab. It's what do you bring to that table of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahim, Al-Kareem, At-Tawwab, Al-Kareem, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Ghafar. You bring Tawbah, you bring Istighfar, you seek His mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to. Allah Ta'ala wishes to. Allah Ta'ala loves to. This is what this means. Allah Ta'ala loves to. In fact, when a person turns to Allah, Allah loves that person even more. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِ. Allah has muhabbat for such a person, for such a sinner who turns back to Him, who turns to Him in tawbah. So turn to Allah to present your weakness, present your excuses, present your shortcomings. Allah Ta'ala wants to take all of that away. He wants to lift it off, everything off our shoulders. You just have to present ourselves to Allah. You have to give yourself over to Allah. It's nothing can be so easy in this world. You just have to give yourself and Allah will accept. No other conditions. No other conditions. And that is why Ramadan is here. So whatever days we spend, that's just warm up. Now, first thing is to make this tawbah And second thing is that with that tawbah, it's time to start taking from Allah Ta'ala. It's time to start begging from Allah Ta'ala. It's time to start making those real heartfelt du'as about everything. This is Allah Ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Allah belongs all the treasures of the heavens, of the skies and the earth. Whatever you want, you should make that request to Allah. Whatever you want to ask, ask Allah. Yes, there's a proper adab, and we mentioned that adab of making dua before, that you seek forgiveness first, you make tawbah of all your sins, of all your ghafla, and then you ask Allah. And you ask Allah first for your deen, for istiqamah on this deen, on tawbah, taqwa, muhabbah of Allah, love for Allah, fear of Allah. But then you continue asking. You ask Allah for everything. Ask Allah Ta'ala about your deen, ask Allah about your dunya. There shouldn't be any hesitancy in our asking. That's what this month is all about. This is a month of tawbah and a month of dua. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us those special moments during the day. Every day we have two special moments when our du'as are completely qabool, maqbool in Allah. One is before we break our fast. So 5, 10, 15 minutes before we break our fast, which is called iftar time. And the second is 5, 10, 15 minutes before the sehri time ends. Suhoor time ends. Those two are very precious times. Whatever, there is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that whoever makes du'as in those times, those du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like Allah ta'ala gave us this blank check. Blank check, it's just checked, you know, it's signed, and you can write whatever amount you want to on that check. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just signed this. This is guaranteed. And it's left up to us that whatever du'as we make, Allah will give us those things. But we have to make du'as. And we have to make du'as with the proper adab. And we have to capitalize on those opportunities. And how many days of Ramadan are left? Maybe 13, 14 days? That's 14 times 2. That's 28 blank checks still left. If we blew our opportunities before, we still have 28 blank checks. And it's up to us. We should ask Allah Ta'ala. And ask big. Ask about deen. Ask about dunya. There shouldn't be any hesitancy in asking for anything that you need from Allah Ta'ala. If the Prophet ﷺ said that even if you need a shoelace, you should make dua to Allah Ta'ala. So you ask for your career, for your good job, good salary, buy a spouse, kubuliya in the law, work of deen. This is our identity, that we are muhtaj of Allah. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara'u ilallah. That, O insan, human being, every single one of you is needy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is muhtaj of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a beggar in the court of Allah ta'ala. And if that is our identity, which is our true identity, then we should just ask Allah ta'ala. Our job is to ask. And if that is our job, then why shouldn't we ask to our fullest? Dil khol kar mange. Right? You should just completely open your heart and ask Allah for everything that you need. For everything that you need, for everything that you want, for everything that you desire, for everything that you love. Permissible things, but you should ask. And this is, your asking is itself ibadah. The fact that you will be asking Allah Ta'ala, there is a second aspect that whatever you make, maybe you will get it, maybe you won't get it. But the fact that the time that you're spending in making that dua, that itself is ibadah, and that act of asking will draw you close to Allah. You will get the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will love you even more for the fact that you're asking Him. And then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also listens to our du'as. Allah will give you, because that's what Allah ta'ala is promising. Ud'uni astajib lakum, ask from me, I will give you, I will accept your du'as. So there are two benefits in making that du'a. One is that you get the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ta'luq with Allah, the relationship with Allah. And a secondary benefit is that whatever du'as that you're asking, you will get that also from Allah. Or you will get that in the best way, in the way that Allah Ta'ala deems best for you. But your dua will be accepted by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So if, and again, a person might think, maybe my du'as are not so hard, maybe my du'as are not so makbul, I sin with my tongue. But if it was a matter of our du'as, then it would be very difficult. Then a person might be right, might have that wasfasa. But we are not just making du'as on our own. We are making du'as under the shade of the du'a of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ has said, the Prophet ﷺ has promised that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as at these two times. So we, when we make du'a, we're asking under this shade of the du'a of the Prophet ﷺ. So that's why we should have yakin about the qubuliyah of our du'a. Not because we are very pious, but because the Prophet ﷺ has told us, this is the mercy, this is the rahmatullil alameen. Mercy for all of Alameen, that the Prophet ﷺ gave us those two times. And that's why we should make dua openly. It's like a one window operation. Now many people, now we have 11 months after this month of Ramadan. And for those 11 months, a person is then always, they're worried, they're anxious, and we have all these issues and problems, and a person doesn't know where to go, a person doesn't know how to solve those problems. This is an opportunity for all of us that we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get barakah in the remaining 11 months. We can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fix our problems, to solve our issues, to create ease for us, to remove afflictions and worries, to save us from grief and suffering. Why do we complain to other people about our situation? Throughout the year, then we're complaining. We're complaining to others, our family members, our spouse, our children. This is an opportunity which Allah Ta'ala has given to all of us, that we can present ourselves to Allah. Allah can correct all our situations. He is Mughayyirul Ahwal, changer of everything, all our ahwal. So when we have this blank check, we should reach out to Allah Ta'ala. This is our problem, that we don't reach out to Him in such moments. And then throughout the next year, we're complaining that I'm worried about my job, I'm not able to get married, I have issues with my in-laws, I have issues with my spouse, I have issues, this issue, that issue, this problem, that problem. This is one window operation where everything can be solved by just when we present ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much should you want to ask? Ask. Our Shaykh mentions a story that there were two people who went to Baytullah for Tawaf, and one of them was making this dua that, oh Allah, I want millions and millions of dollars from you. And the other person listened and said that you're asking so much. He said, go mind your own business. It's not you who I'm asking from. That's our, we're not dealing with some people of the dunya. We're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So maximize, ask everything. You can maximize dunya, ask for the hasanat of the dunya, and also ask for the hasanat of deen. Reach out to Allah ta'ala, ask Allah ta'ala for His qurb, for His wilaya, for His ma'rifah, for His ma'iyah. It's an incredibly phenomenal power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in these moments, in this month of Ramadan. That it's enough. One moment is enough to make a fasiq person, make him into the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the golden moments of our lives. And especially those times of dua before sehri ends and before iftar. Golden, precious, priceless moments. And we should make dua. You can make dua individually, personally. Make dua in your heart. When a person is tired of raising their hands, they can make dua silently. Silently with your tongue. When the tongue becomes tired, make dua with your heart. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala used to say that the best dua is the dua of tears. But make dua. But make dua with humility, with ajizi, tadap and desire. That's the key. A mother who has lost her child, she doesn't need to be told what dua she needs to make. She already has, she already knows, she already, it's already there in her heart. So we should be like that mother who has lost her child and she is asking Allah for her child. That's how we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or that example of Hajjaj bin Yusuf, which we have mentioned many times before also. We have to make dua with certainty that whatever I'm asking, Allah will grant me inshallah. Don't have any shak, shubhat, doubt. That's a big mistake. That a person starts thinking that Allah doesn't like me, Allah doesn't, won't accept this. You keep on making dua with certainty. And you keep on making dua, same dua, repeating it over and over again, till you reach Shar'e Sadr in your heart. Till you reach that, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surely accepted my dua. Keep on making that dua. Just ensure that in your heart there should not be any ghair other than Allah ta'ala. And there should not be any ghafla in your heart. No ghair and no ghafla. And then use your heart to make dua. Ask Allah ta'ala to bless us according to His own shan. To give us so much that we begin to say, Ya Allah, it's enough, it's enough. So this is prime time. These are moments to exert ourselves in marathon ibadah, marathon dua, marathon, you know, our taluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tie yourself in ibadah. Seek Allah ta'ala's bounties, His blessings. Fix our relationship with Allah ta'ala. Turn towards Him in tawbah. Make Allah ta'ala yours. Win Allah ta'ala over. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to act on these teachings. Inshallah, if we can tie this knot with Allah ta'ala in this month of Ramadan, then for the rest of the 11 months, Allah ta'ala will be with us. Allah ta'ala will always be with us. Allah ta'ala will always be there to help us. So may Allah ta'ala accept us in this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our forgiveness in this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our du'as in this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be able to make true tawbah in this month of Ramadan. And may Allah ta'ala enable all of us to change and transform in this month of Ramadan. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وبيدك الخير كله. اللهم إنا نسألك الخير كله ونعوذ بك من شر كله. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.